So this is the Rockets in General podcast, coming at you from Houston, and Australia. Until we have a better name for the podcast, that's what we're going to call it, Rockets in General, because Jeff said this is a podcast about the Rockets in general, so I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah,
sounds like a very logical combo.
So why don't we go around the room and introduce ourselves. I'm Max. I'm from Houston, North Houston area, so close up to the Woodlands. I've lived here my whole life, been a Rockets fan my whole life. I remember us winning the titles back in 91, 92 seasons, heart of the champion, et cetera. So I've been a Rockets fan my whole life, and glad to see that they're finally gaining some traction, and glad to be a part of the podcast with you guys.
Oh, or I guess I'll go next. Okay, so I'm Jeff. I'm also from Houston, kind of like the Northwest side. I haven't lived in Houston my whole life, but I'm basically the Houston area, and the same thing. I kind of got into the Rockets, you know, when they won the championship, and it was kind of like a family, like, you know, culture thing. And
where are you from originally?
This is like a really local, but like, I don't know if you know where Lake Jackson is. That's like 50 miles south of Houston.
Yeah.
So that. But yeah, that's again really local, and I mean like. people that aren't from Houston aren't going to – some people that are from Houston don't even know where Lake Jackson is, because it's like, you know, I don't keep track of, you know, all the you know, cities like east or west or, you know, north. So, I mean, I can't expect them to know, like – okay, so I guess that's me. I guess we have one more person.
Okay, well, I'm Jazz, and I'm probably as far away from Houston as you can get, in Melbourne, Australia. So, I actually only started watching basketball in general maybe – a year ago, like basically like halfway through the playoffs, and I guess I just globed onto Houston after watching them in the Clippers series.
That is a very random.
I mean, don't even know why.
Introduction to the Rockets.
I mean, that's a good reason to get into the team, though. I mean, you got to.
I guess I'm, as a lifelong Houston fan, I'm glad that we can recruit new fans. Just so I guess by the way we play.
Well, basically, like the way I started was, like, I just watched some random highlights after a couple of my friends tried to get me into it, and then I just watched heaps of, like, Dwight Howard dunks, and I just wanted to know what team he played for. But yeah, now I'm pretty invested in this team now, so I'm really hoping that we do well this season.
Well, yeah, like I hope we do well, or else maybe you'll jump ship back to soccer or another team. I don't know.
Dallas. Nah, I'm not gonna go for Dallas.
Okay. So is basketball actually big in Australia? Is that?
Well, we have the NBL, but not even people in Australia really watch the NBL, because it's kind of like NBA light. It's like basically just like local talent and very little excitement.
Who's the best Australian NBA player for five?
I would not even know. I know a lot about the NBA now, but I know very little about the NBL.
Jeff, you know, right?
What's the question? It was who's the best in Australia?
Oh, the Australian basketball one.
No. Not in the. I'm talking in the NBA or in the world. Who's the best NBA player? That was like, Australia.
That's from Australia? Or is Andrew Bogut from Australia? Or
I was going to say, yeah, probably.
Yes. Bogut. Okay, that was the answer to the question that I was
I was sitting there like, man, I hope he's from Australia and not like, I'm not like, you know.
Terribly. Yeah, he's from New Zealand, and Jazz gets all offended. He's like, oh, yeah, these fucking Kiwis.
Exactly. The Kiwi in Australia is not the same thing. But obviously, the most famous Australian player is obviously... Dellavedova.
Dellavedova.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I remember them saying.
We actually had a couple of. I don't know if you guys know the AFL, the Australian Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's basically just like kind of like rugby, but like a lot faster, and like even on those ones, the broadcasters were basically just talking about Dellavedova and how he's like a star in the NBA. I'm just like, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know about star. Maybe for somebody who doesn't watch the NBA. He was like a star for, what, like 3 days in the finals?
Yeah, exactly. Got, like, yeah, some talk, you know, because he had a good game, or, you know. I mean, he's a solid role player, but he's not, like, you know, one of the all-stars of the league or anything.
Yeah, he got his 5 minutes of fame and then let LeBron down in a big way.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing, I suppose. But, like, I'm not really invested in them just because they're Australian. Just, like, they're the ones that get a lot of attention over here.
And so you started watching the playoffs last year, and that's how you got into the NBA. And so why the Rockets over, like, the Cavaliers with LeBron, obviously, is, like, the most exciting player, and not the Spurs, et cetera?
I don't know, like, I guess I didn't get into, like, the Cavaliers and LeBron just because, like, they were so highly talked about, and I was like, I don't really want to be like a ship jumper into the Cavaliers just ship because of LeBron.
So you chose a decent team but not too good. That's something the Rockets fans know all too well.
Well, like, I did see a lot of James Harden highlights, and I'm just like, I just really, for some reason, like, was attracted to his game.
It's the beard.
Yeah, it's definitely the beard.
And that, like, hooping dance or whatever it is that he does, like,
oh, yeah,
I think,
like,
that started, like, this past year too. Yeah,
he hasn't been doing that all along.
I don't remember. He might have done it like a year or so ago, but, like, I just started noticing it this year.
I definitely don't think he was doing it next to Durant and OKC.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact origin of it, but I don't know. That's kind of an interesting, like. You know, I don't think are there that many people that do, like, I know that's, like, that's a big thing, like, the NFL, where they have, like, they'll, like, sack
the
guy but, like, in the NBA, I don't think people do, like, you know, I guess after you hit a 3-point shot, they'll, you know, throw three symbol in the air.
Three fingers, yeah.
Oh, like the dances and stuff. Yeah, like, I don't know, you don't really see it too much. Like, a lot of people have a lot of variations on the three, like Dirk's gun thing that he does, I suppose, but not as many just, like, random celebration dances.
Yeah, and the cooking, you know, thing, the stirring of the pot thing is just kind of like a, you know, I'm, like, it's not after anything specific. I guess it's just, like, you know, after, like, a series of good plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never done it, like, when we're, like, behind by 10. It's, like, usually we're ahead, and it's, like, the fourth quarter or the third quarter.
Exactly. That's homework for everybody, is to find out the origins and meaning of the Chef Harden dance.
Well, if you ask Little B, then obviously it's he's ripping off Little B.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. Like, I heard that like, he said that he stole the dance or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he cursed him, and so that's allegedly why we didn't win the championship, because not only was he cursed, and James Harden was given the chance to repent by Little B on Twitter and just, you know, own up to the fact that he stole the dance, but refused to do so, and so we didn't win the title.
Yeah, that's the only reason why.
It has nothing to do with free throws or, you know, defense, nothing like that.
Or one of the best teams in the league just, like, going nuts.
Yeah, that was Golden State's, I think, best series, honestly. They played well against the Cavaliers, but I thought they just played out of their minds against us.
Yeah, it was kind of depressing, like, with the first two games, how they're, like, so close.
Mm-hmm. The West is so deep. It's ridiculous that one of, if not the best players in the league, plays for the eighth best team in the West, which is Anthony Davis.
You're talking about New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, who is everything that Dwight Howard wishes he could be, and he's in his, like, second or third year in the league. He's ridiculous.
Man, I was reading your article about the Rockets, and, like, do you not like Dwight Howard?
I like Dwight Howard, but, oh, man, he's just blessed. He has so much size, obviously. You can't teach size. It's, you know, one of the old adages. So he's huge. He's strong. He's fast. But he's been in the league 11 years, and he can't make a free throw, and he can't hit a hook shot consistently after 11 years.
Yeah, that's depressing.
He's got so much unrealized potential. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it just, you know, you look at him and you just think, what could he be if it just clicked for him?
Although he did have that one year where he, like, obviously, like, I'm speaking out of basically just reading and watching old tapes, but he had that year where he led Orlando to the finals.
Yeah, that was a crazy year. That was actually, I think, one of the like starts of the new NBA where everybody just shoots threes.
Oh yeah, because that they had like, was it? I think was that Ryan Anderson at power forward, like they, one of the first years he broke out or something, or Rashard Lewis.
No, he did. Maybe that they was had Rashard thing. Lewis. They had that point guard that's still there now. God, they had everybody on their team could shoot threes except for Dwight, obviously. And Dwight just clogged up the middle. He just threw it down to Dwight. Somebody gets open. He passes it out. They hit a three. It was a great, great team. They probably should have won the title that year, but they cooled off in hitting threes. That's the thing about hitting threes is eventually if you hit a cold streak, you're just not going to be able to win.
Who beat them that year?
I think it was the Lakers, but yeah.
Right.
So I'm
in the finals.
That might have been – I'm trying to remember, like, who was on that team at the time. Like, it was, like, Kobe and Gasol, I think, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, who else was on the team. Because I think one
was
of the years, like –
was the Lakers that time?
Or no, I don't – man, I don't know. Was he?
Let's check it out.
There's this thing called the internet that we might be able to use.
We're actually on the internet now. Yeah, no.
Oh, wow.
Against the Lakers, they won in 5 games. I remember it being much more of a spank than that. I remember this Orlando just didn't show up. That was, let's see. Yeah, so we had Kobe. Oh, Hito Turkoglu. That's the guy that I was thinking of. They played for the.
Oh, the Orlando Magic. Yeah.
Yeah, Hito Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis, Mikhail Petras. They had everybody could shoot threes, and everybody was.
And I think that was a majority good defensive team as well, like if I remember correctly.
Well, yeah, Dwight Howard. I mean, say what you want about his offensive game, but he is amazing at defense. But I think that kind of has more to do with just natural instincts and him being a giant than it does any skill at the game.
Yeah.
He seems to be trying.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are people that like are really big, and then just they don't, you know, like they can't figure it out, you know. So I mean, I guess you have to give Dwight credit for like at least being a good rebounder and you know, in a
that's
like in paint defender.
But I don't know. I mean, I just remember the Golden State series. You would see, I think I saw Steph Curry beat Dwight
to a rebound?
For rebounds.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I remember 10, that.
10, 15 times in the series, and it was just sad. I don't know if it's just, you know, the way he plays or what, but I think about somebody who, Jazz, you won't remember watching a lot, but Yao Ming, a lot of the people in Houston remember Yao Ming, and he had absolutely zero athletic talent, period. He was...
Well, yeah, but he was like 7 foot something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was
seven foot six. Yeah, so that was, pretty tall.
All I know is that in 2K16, he's like unstoppable in the paint.
Yeah, well, see, he actually wasn't unstoppable in the paint from like a power standpoint. He was exactly what you wish Dwight Howard could get, and he had a jump shot. He could dunk while standing up without jumping, basically. So that was good. But when people would foul him, he made something like 75-80% of his free throws. So here's a guy who, before him, basketball wasn't what it is in China now. I mean, it's huge in China, obviously, now. But before him, it was big, but nothing like that. So it's not like he grew up, you know, with all these influences around him to make him some basketball superstar. He worked hard at it and was able to, with, like I said, anyone who watched the Rockets during his time knows, zero athletic ability, and with that, he became a very dominating center in the league. And maybe not defensively, he was kind of a pushover, but like I said, Dwight Howard's got all the athletic ability that Yao Ming never had, and Yao Ming puts him to shame in the offensive game.
I think that's what you were talking about with like Anthony Davis, like. He's a very good comparison when it comes to Dwight Howard, because he is also very athletic, but he's also clearly got the skill.
Yeah.
And obviously the work ethic.
A thing about Anthony Davis that I read a while ago is he, up until his, I think, senior year in high school, was just, you know, regularly tall. He was like 6'3", 6'5". And then, so he played point guard. And then he shot up, you know, to 7 feet at the end of high school. And then all of a sudden, he's a 7 foot tall point guard. So he has all the skills that you want to handle the ball and to make moves, et cetera. Whereas Dwight was this gigantic kid growing up. So he never really had to develop those skills to dominate a basketball game.
He just could.
So now he's, you know, you get into the NBA and he was this, you know, raw talent superstar. And, you know, like you said, he, one of the things that turned you onto the team was these huge, you know, dunks, which you can do with the size and power and speed.
Yeah, but I think
he's never really developed like a, he obviously can't handle the ball. He can't pass very well. And he doesn't have anything resembling the hook shot, et cetera.
Yeah, there were a couple of really bad turnovers in the playoffs in the Golden State series.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like trying to back down, and then somebody would just poke it out of his hands.
Yeah,
I think he has like high turnover, you know, for a center. Like that's like one of the weaknesses. Other than just like being like just average on offense in general. That's one of the things they talk about.
And see, just imagine if he could shoot a free throw at 70%, even 70%. We might be unstoppable, right?
Yeah, because I mean, they certainly wouldn't like foul him. Because oftentimes, it, like if he's just around the basket, they just like foul him because it's like, well, he's gonna make this over 50% of the time, you know. So we might as well put him on the line and get those like few percentage points.
Exactly, yeah,
he was just over 50% last year.
Which is probably kind of one of the highest in his career, I would imagine.
I think he's like 60% for his career or something around there, which is still not good, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm
looking up on Basketball Reference, and his career is 57, and his highest was 61 in his first year.
Wow, so he's got progressively worse. Well, not actually, much worse. 57%, I mean, it's, you know. But you'd think, you know, a guy making that kind of money and knowing how dominant he can be, and one of the things holding him back is just that they can just foul him. I mean, he could dominate a game if he wasn't able to just be fouled and sent to the line. I mean, we all remember the playoffs last year, just how slogging some of those games got, where they were just fouls back and forth between
the Clippers.
What's that guy's name?
DeAndre.
Yeah, DeAndre, you can cut that part out where I don't know who one of the big stars of the NBA is.
We'll let it out of the
part. DeAndre Jordan. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard. Who can miss fewer free throws? And it's just like the worst basketball ever. And then just putting yourself in that position as a team that you can't make a free throw and the other team knows it so much that they're just willing to throw a bunch of fouls at you. It's frustrating as a fan.
I don't know. Because we can talk about the Hacker strategy in the playoffs since we're talking about it. That was mentioned a lot during that series. And I think they actually met in the off season, but they decided not to make any changes because, you know, people were fine with the rules the way they were. But I mean, I guess like in general, one of the things on the Hacker strategy is that like people think that like that by sending someone to the line that it's like, you know, a huge disadvantage to the, you know, to someone like Dwight Howard because he can't make free throws. But like in reality, you're only averaging like, you know, 50%, you know, like on an average offensive possession. So, I mean, I want to say like, I mean, if because I think at the time, like Dwight was actually averaging like in the 40s or something. So, I mean, you might have been, you know, getting some amount of percentage points. But I mean, like on average, if you compare like a 0.5, like, you know, expected value versus
expected
like a 0.4.
Points, yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of why, because usually, and I mean, the thing I always say is typically like the Hacker strategy is like used when someone's behind and they kind of want, I guess they want to save time and catch back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the end of the games.
So that's why I can't like fault Dwight for not being able to shoot free throws too bad because like, but I mean, although there is the point that like, when they're not using the Hack, like explicitly trying to foul him, like immediately, like when they're just like fouling him, like during the regular course of the game, like that's obviously you know, it'd be better if he could shoot free throws for yeah, because I mean, that's just, I mean, just like how James Harden can shoot like 90% or whatever it is, like, you know, he gets fouled, like, that's, you know, because I don't know what his percentage of, you know, his percentages around the basket, you know, on a drive, you know, but I mean, it has to be less than 90, maybe like 70% or something, you know.
Well, the point is, I mean, he gets, you have to take him out of the game at the end there, because if you pass him the ball, they're going to foul him. If he gets a rebound, they're going to foul him. So you're he's a hindrance to his team because he can't sit at the line and shoot free throws. And it's not for lack of trying, like Jazz said. I think that he actually does try, because it, you know, I take the guy at his word. He says he shoots free throws every practice constantly. He says he shoots a bunch of them. And he says he can actually make them in practice. That's the crazy part.
Did you see the first game of the preseason? Oh, obviously you said you don't watch any of them.
No, I will never watch an NBA preseason.
Fair enough. Like I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what his numbers were, because I can't find it on Basketball Reference. But like his shot on a free throw looked better. Like it looked like I think it was Bill was saying on the commentary that it has a lot more arc on it, and it definitely looks like a better shot. But he was still, I think he was still making less than half.
Oh, I think so, I remember hearing them saying that, like, when he first shot free throw, because I think he just played in that game, that first game.
Yeah, it was just the one.
Well, I guess it's good to know as a fan that he's at least going to work on it.
Right. No. But then you see, like our other center, Clint Capella, like, I think he was averaging, I feel like I want to say it's 70% from the line.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, his shot looks great.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but somewhere again, he fell apart in the playoffs. He couldn't hit a free throw to save his life.
Oh, well, to be fair, it was his first year in the league, and like, his first playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't expect too much from the kid. Like, he's as old as me, bro.
I don't know, Clint Capella kind of surprised me last year, because, I mean, he was our, what was it, he was like the 24th pick or something? I don't remember when we picked last year.
Yeah, 24, 25 or something.
And like didn't really play the whole season, and like we could have used like a backup center. I think we were playing like Joey Dorsey like most of the year.
Joey Dorsey. I'm glad we got rid of that.
And then like out of nowhere, you know, Clint Capella starts getting minutes like late in the season, and then like actually starts in the, or not starts in the playoffs, but like, you know, gets like, you know, backup minutes in the playoffs, and, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. That.
Well, every fan that called into every radio station here in Houston was crying for him to start the entirety of the playoffs. Obviously, Jazz, you didn't hear it because you're, you know, from the other side of the world. But,
exactly.
I mean, all the fans have been clamoring for that guy to start for a long time. Yeah, like, or to at least be the first backup for Dwight.
Well, like, I don't know, like, oh, you go, Jeff.
Well, I was gonna say I don't know if I'd go as far to say he should be starting, but like, because I mean, Dwight's still better, but like, he definitely, or based on his performance in the playoffs, like he's locked up the backup center spot essentially, like, you know.
Well, he's our only backup center.
Well, yeah, I mean,
no,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess like last year, yeah, you know, yeah, we were rolling with like, you know, Joey Dorsey and stuff, so, you know,
let's not talk about him.
But
did we end up signing Chuck Hayes? I remember that we, at one point, we're gonna sign Chuck Hayes, and then
I think the Clippers took him.
Rumors, yeah, it was going. It fell through, which is a shame, because Chuck Hayes is a man that's like a folk hero here in Houston. Everybody loves Chuck Hayes.
Well, I was listening to a couple of other. Oh, sorry, you go.
Well, no, I was gonna say, like, I think the reason why it fell through is because like we started getting, like, we got Ty Lawson, and then like other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I was like worried about there, like how many minutes he would be able to get or something. So I think that was why it fell through. But
yeah, speaking of Ty Lawson, we might as well just segue into that. So what do you guys think about how Ty Lawson and Harden are going to work together next year? I mean, they're both guys that handle the ball for the majority of their team's possessions. So what do you think how do you think they're going to work?
Well, if you believe Kevin McHale, then you're gonna hope that Ty's gonna be able to get a lot of more catch and shoots for James. But like as you said, they're both pretty dominant, like when it comes to ball handling, and just like, I'm not sure
like it looked decent in the preseason, but I'm not sure how it's going to work during the regular season. Like, if James is going to really want to like relinquish a lot more of his ball handling duties this year, but I hope that he takes a more of a backseat, or more not a backseat, but like more of like a like an even like time between him and Ty to see who can like get the most shots, and then like hopefully like with them together we'll be able to spread the floor and then they get a lot more even distribution of points, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I'm excited about in terms of like that combination is that like I want to say, I don't remember exactly how many turnovers Harden averaged during the season, but like, because he's not really like a true point guard. I mean, because he was good about like getting the ball to teammates and all that, because I think he averaged like 7 assists or 8 assists or something like that. But like, you know, it was something like four turnovers, 4.5 maybe. I don't know the exact number, but Ty Lawson, because he's like an actual like, you know, legitimate point guard, like he can get like the assists, but not the turnovers. So, and I want to say turnovers, like as a team, was kind of like we were like one of the worst in the league or something like. So I mean, maybe having a guy that's like a more efficient, you know, passer in terms of like, mm-hmm. you know, assists versus turnovers, like. But I mean, I guess it works that because Ty Lawson's better at passing, obviously, whereas like James Harden is better at like just in general scoring. So I mean, it's not like they're the exact same.
I think it's more of like the logic behind it is just making sure that James is a little bit fresher for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that James Harden, I don't remember when he said this, but like he said, like we need another like, you know, playmaking like guy on the perimeter, and so someone like Ty Lawson is like, you know, he basically asked for this. So I mean, I don't think he's going to be like upset that he doesn't get the ball as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you look at the way that they've been playing in the pre, like they definitely seem like they're okay with just like standing around the perimeter when the other guy is doing the ball handling, and like they're able to play off each other well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, fortunately, mm-hmm. I mean, they both are like solid 3-point shooters. I mean, like, or I guess I would say they're both like above average behind the 3-point line. Like, it's not like, man. Now I'm trying to think of who. Like, I don't know, like where the rest of the team ranks in like three. I know like Ariza's like.
I know we were a very good 3-point shooting team overall in the regular season at least.
Is that adjusted for the fact that we shoot like a shit ton? Oh
yeah,
we're about to swear.
Yeah, I remember we like shot the most, and then just because of the fact that we shot the most, we also made the most. But then like.
Right.
We weren't like the highest in efficiency, but like we were. I don't think we might have been like 10th or something. I mean, it wasn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have guys like Josh Smith and, you know, Demo and Terrence Jones like shooting threes. You know, I think they're just like, you know, around 30-33%. So that might like drag the average down a little, but.
So I was looking at the turnovers and the shooting guard numbers. James Harden actually turned the ball over more than any shooting guard in the NBA last year.
Was it by like, a wide margin?
Is that like per game, or is that like
yes,
total?
Yes, turnovers per game. He turned the ball over 321 times, and the next highest person would be, I guess, Dwayne Wade with 60 games played, so 20 fewer games, and he turned the ball over 200 times. So about a half of a turnover more per game than the next highest that played any substantial amount of games. So pretty bad.
Yeah.
And it falls off even further after that. So yeah, pretty bad. Whereas opposed to Ty Lawson was down near the bottom of starting point guards that played a lot of minutes. 2.5 per game, but I think the numbers for point guards overall are just larger because they handle the ball more. They just naturally have more turnovers.
Well, yeah, and there's like, I know there are guys that play like the point guard position, but they're not really like passing point guards. They're like the Jason Terry type of point guard where, you know, they shoot more than they pass. So I mean, if they're like forced into that, I mean, it's kind of like how James Harden isn't like a he's no like Steve Nash or, you know, in terms of distributing the ball. So I mean, I think that's you know, explains the difference in turnovers.
Like, it definitely like, I think this past playoffs and season, it definitely, like, even though he isn't, as you say, like a true point guard where he's able to distribute easily, like, I think this will do a lot for his game where people can trust him that he'll be able to find you. Like, obviously he's not going to pass you to you every time, but like, it'll do a lot to develop his ability to pass because he had to last season.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where that could be the case.
Like, I don't think he's going to average, like, I don't think he's going to, like, go near Chris Paul and, like, average, like, 10 assists per game. But, like, he doesn't have to now that we have an actual point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the assists would definitely go down just because, like, he's probably not going to be in that role, you know, a lot where he's, like, you know, he's basically, like, you know, the offense and has to, like, you know, get points for, you know, other players. I mean, because Dwight was out for, like, half the season last year, so that, and then you add him back, and then Ty Lawson, and then, I don't know. I mean, that's like a lot of like offensive, you know, scoring punch compared to last year. So I mean,
well, you could add in Monta Ounis. I mean, he was basically out for the stretch run the playoffs and in the playoffs. So,
is there any like time frame of when Demo is supposed to come back?
I think. Well, they said he's doubtful for the opening game.
Right.
So I mean, I'm assuming that means that like within maybe like a week or two. You know, but other, because I mean, I think the Rockets are usually like, they don't like to give a lot of information about stuff like that. That, you know, they kind of, like they don't say like, oh, it's going to be like 3 months or something, unless it's like, maybe it's like a specific injury where, you know, the time frame is like a lot more concrete. But what was it he originally went out for? He had some kind of surgery or something?
I think it was a back injury. Like, I know that, like, they were saying that. During the preseason, he wasn't doing like contact practices, but by the end of the preseason, they were saying he was running and just about to start doing contact. So hopefully that means he'll be back soonish.
Yeah, I say don't rush him. I mean, you were fine in the playoffs without him. You have Ty Lawson now. I think what you said earlier, Jazz, about Ty taking away a lot of the time that Harden has to have the ball and the time that he has to, you know, be the number one producer, I guess, you know, creator of offense. Yeah. You know, just seeing him being able to catch and shoot more because, I mean, some of those games, talking about the Hackett strategy was boring. Some of the games when every single possession, James Harden got the ball, took it up, and then tried to draw a foul, just got, you know, really agonizing sometimes to watch.
Yeah, like, Oh, you go, Jeff.
Well, no, I was just going to say I agree. Like, I don't have, like, another...
Not another specific point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's not only that he... It's not like he was doing it as a detriment to the team. There is nobody on our team that could create offense. Patrick Beverley, say what you want about him, but the guy can at least slash towards the basket and act like he's going to shoot and get somebody open. And then Dwight Howard, obviously, we already talked about his passing not being the greatest. And so when every team knows that Harden's about to take it up the court and he still does it every time and the amount of offensive production he had, I think it'll be exciting to see Ty Lawson and what he can do in opening up the floor.
Yeah, like Patrick Beverley obviously doesn't have the best shot like when it comes to the three-point, but as you say, like he's definitely got a like good slashing game where he can like draw people into the paint and then easily pass it out to the corner.
Yeah, good. Like, he's got a good first step. Yeah, he actually was lowest in the league in turnovers per game, which is part of that obviously is because he's not handling the ball as much as the other point guards. But I mean, still, you know, you take care of the ball and he's a tenacious defender. So he's. And him coming off the bench, too, with the amount of fire that guy brings to a game, I'm really excited to see how he plays as a sixth man.
Well, how much credit do you attribute to people calling him, like, the Curry stopper?
Yeah, that's part of it. And I was just going to bring that up as well, because now you have Lawson in addition to him, and you saw the way that they beat us. the Golden State Warriors, the way that they beat the Rockets in the playoffs last year, the way they beat basically everybody was to go small. And then obviously with Patrick Beverley out, we had nobody to really guard Steph.
I guess continue your point. Say something afterwards.
Yeah, so with Lawson and Patrick Beverley in, when we're able to match Golden State's small ball, we still have somebody to defend Steph. When we were playing small ball with them last year, Steph Curry got to just relax on defense. He got to stand around, count daisies, look at the scoreboard, do nothing, while James Harden was the only guy we had to guard Steph Curry. And we all know, you know, whether or not his defense is as bad as it's portrayed in the media and nationally, he's not the greatest defender, and he had to work his ass off on both ends of the court because he had to be all of the offense for the team and then guard Steph Curry, who is obviously one of the greatest shooters of all time. But Steph had to guard nobody.
Jason Terry or who is it? Pablo Prigioni?
Guys sit in the corner. So all Steph had to do on defense was sit in the corner, while Harden on defense had to chase around one of the, you know, most dynamic players in the NBA. So that part of it, and then Jazz, you even touched on it, you know, just saving Harden for the playoffs, you know, not being so fatigued. Having somebody, even if Patrick Beverley's not on the court, with Lawson to defend him is going to be huge.
Yeah, it's just like the ability to have that extra weapon and just to like make the other team work that much more.
Exactly. Rather than them all just focusing on Harden and hoping somebody else has a decent game offensively, which was our whole playoff run last year.
Right. Yeah, because I remember, man. And what I was going to say earlier, because you were talking about Steph Curry, because I remember, I don't know if Jason Terry played defense on Curry or, but and I'll,
I think
but
he might have once or twice.
I think Ariza was on Klay Thompson, and one I specifically remember the backup point guard, the Pablo Prigioni, they had him on Steph Curry sometimes because Steph Curry does the thing where, you know, he'll get lost, he'll come off the screen and then, you know, you have to like work to get, you know, it's, you kind of have to like pay attention.
He comes
to, like,
off the screen very well, yeah.
Well, and then Pablo Prigioni, and Jason Terry as well. They're both like a lot shorter, and I mean, they. I guess naturally their instinct is to kind of stay back because they're not like quick or anything. So a lot of times, like Steph Curry, like would go on a screen and then like, you know, he gets, you know, any space and he can get up a shot. And I want to say like it was like one of the first two games, maybe like in the first half, he had like, you know, some crazy amount of points just because, and it wasn't like he was, man, I'm trying to remember like how, like if he was like wide open or if it was like someone like Prigioni or Terry was there, but like, you know, they just didn't get there fast enough. So, but I guess the point I was trying to make was that like that, I guess that's the difference between those guys and Beverly's. Beverly would, you know, is like quicker and can work around the screen and
he can fight through the screens. Yeah.
And he's like, and I guess he's not afraid to like, you know, get like in his face and kind of like get him out of his comfort zone. So I mean, I thought that would have made a huge difference.
Like I felt a lot of the time that you had either Pablo or the Jet trying to guard him. Like a lot of the time, it felt like they were, by the time Curry was already getting his shot up, they were really trying to reach in to try and like get any kind of defense up. Whereas like if it was Beverley, he would probably if he couldn't get around the screen, he'll probably try to like push his way through the guy to get through the screen just to try and get a contest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's a lot more just like physical in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it honestly seemed like Steph was just wide open, you know, half the game on offense. He would fight through the screen, like you guys said. He's great at coming off the screen. And then everybody, they were just behind. There was nothing. And then, you know, Jeff, you talked about Ariza. And Ariza was on Klay Thompson, who had a terrible series against the Rockets. He was completely shut out. I think he had one game where you could call it decent. But other than that, I mean, we shut him down.
I don't think I've ever seen, like, Ariza. I mean, I know he's, like, a really good defender. Like, he's the best defender I mean, him and Dwight, I guess, are like the best defenders, but I don't think he just completely, I mean, because like Klay Thompson, he was like an all-star this year, wasn't he? I mean, that, you know,
yeah,
he's not like
an all-star.
I mean, and that, you know, so, although I guess in his defense, Klay Thompson did like, you know, played solid defense on Harden, you know, so I mean, it wasn't like he was a complete blank, but like, I mean,
yeah, kind of like what I was talking about. I mean, Klay also had to work on defense, and so that definitely affected his offensive game because, I mean, you know, just the fatigue factor when you're having to guard a guy like James Harden, and then he's drawing fouls constantly from you because he just is so great at drawing fouls that, I mean, you're just not going to have the offensive game that you want.
Man, let's see. Or what were the other topics that we were trying to – let's see.
Like, I don't know if you guys want to talk about. Oh, you guys.
Let's go with like just how well we think Houston's gonna do, and the rest of the West. So let's just kind of like, I guess, pick our picks for the West, and how well we think certain teams are gonna do, and who do we think gonna possibly contend for the Western title.
Well, do you wanna go quickly do a round table of what each of us think the record's gonna be for Houston this season?
Okay. Then, yeah, sure.
Who wants to go first?
Why don't you start, Jazz? I'm so eager.
Oh, yeah, so let's get into it. Let's go. I don't know. Like, I think, optimistically, I think that, like, what was our record this season? I think it was
56 games, I
want to
say.
Yeah, 56. Mm-hmm. I think with the addition of Ty and getting Pat back, I think maybe, I don't think 60 games is out of the realm of possibility, but I'm going to say about the same as last season, and maybe 58.
Okay, that'd be great. I mean, that's a top three seed again, 58 wins, which is what you want in, you know, home court. Yeah,
you also have to factor in how much better the West has been.
Yeah,
or is gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because there's like, I want to say there's like six teams that are kind of like they could all win like in between 55 and 60, you know, games. I mean, it was kind of like this season.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, you had three teams that were all around 55 games. Yeah, I mean, man, it's kind of hard to like pick a number, but I mean, I guess I would probably just pick like about like 56 wins or so, cuz I mean, part of me wants to say they'll win more games because, like, you know, assuming like we'll have better, you know, health luck, and then, you know, you had Lawson in, but like, but I mean, also you have to factor in that, like, compared to last year, or I mean, not last year, compared to like two seasons ago when we had, you know, Jeremy Lin and Chandler Parsons, and then we lost those guys and then gained, you know, so we, like, in theory took a step back, but then we actually won more games compared to that season. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, so yeah, that's a good point.
So I mean, sometimes like talent doesn't, you know, so I mean, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to pick, you know, a specific number, but I mean, not, you know.
About the same, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably guess, like, you know, 56, you know, around the same. I mean, it's probably, like, the harder thing to do is, like, to pick, like, you know, what place they'll get. Because, I mean, that 56 could be, like, you know, second, or it could be, you know, like, fifth again or something. Or, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, up until the last day of the season, we were either going to get the 2 seed or the, I think, 7 seed. We were in contention for all the way from 2 to 7, and on the last day of the season. So, I mean, the West is just a bottleneck right there.
And I want to say it was like, man, we might have even lost our last game, or I don't remember, like, what the situation was, but, like,
and then, like, won, and then San Antonio lost.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. It was San Antonio lost to New Orleans.
To the Pelicans, yeah. The Pelicans were planning to get in, and San Antonio got jumped on really quickly in the first half and just pulled their starters, even though San Antonio knew that they were going to drop from, like, the 3 seed to the 7 seed. They didn't even care. They'd rather pull their starters and get rest before the playoffs. And, I mean, they made a heck of a run, but obviously Golden State.
But, yeah, I mean, that
was just too good.
Man, that's kind of crazy to imagine if we had gotten, like, fifth or – because I think if – I guess with just that one game, I think we would have gotten, like, fifth or fourth, and we would have been playing, like, Portland, and then we would have played Golden State in the second round.
No, I mean, if San Antonio would have won that game and we would have lost, we would have had the 7th seed. So we would have played who was the two seed? I mean, it would have been the Spurs. We would have played the Spurs in the first round as the seventh seed. And I mean, as a Rockets fan, I hesitate to say that we could have won that series at all.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against the Spurs no matter what.
Exactly. They've done 3-0. I still pick the Spurs.
Yeah. Well, Max, what do you think the record's going to be?
It's hard to say. Like I said, the West is going to be so good. Honestly, San Antonio, like we just said, you can never really bet against them. I know they're older again, but we've been saying that for 10 years.
Right.
So San Antonio with LaMarcus Aldridge is probably going to be better. New Orleans with Anthony Davis, you know, another year, going to be better. Memphis, do they get better? Do they get worse? I mean, they seem to be about the same the last few years.
I don't think they added anybody.
Yeah, they kind of just stood pat. I mean, there was a lot of Gasol rumors of where he would go, and then he just kind of stuck around. And then Dallas, I think, takes a step back. So that's one team in our division that I think takes a step back. Obviously, with the addition of Austin and what we talked about, I think we do get a little bit better. Then you've got Golden State, who's going to be good. The Clippers, who are going to be good. The Lakers are going to suck. The Suns are probably going to suck. The Kings are going to suck. The Nuggets are going to suck. So I think we're pretty top-heavy, and who knows what Oklahoma City's going to do with Kevin Durant possibly being healthy, fully healthy for the whole year. I don't know. I mean, I think I can foresee a very similar situation to this last year where it comes down to the end of the season, and it comes down to we could be anywhere from the first. If everything goes well, everybody stays healthy, everybody plays up to their potential, and Ty Lawson doesn't get arrested for DWI, we could be the first seed. I think undoubtedly, I think we have the talent for it. But let's say Ty Lawson, you know, has a DWI. Dwight Howard, maybe his injury that is going on in the preseason just creeps up a little bit longer. Demo doesn't come back fully healthy. I mean, I could see us getting seventh or eighth seed, honestly, with a situation like that. So, I mean, I can see it either way. But I'm going to go ahead and pick that we'll be the fourth seed out of the West.
That seems
fair. Like as you said, like one to five is pretty much a crapshoot.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't care what happens in the regular season. The Rockets are the team at this point. We've made the playoffs, what, 3 seasons in a row. Harden has, you know, we lost in the first round his first year here. Or wait, no. We won the first round. Or did we lose?
Technically, without Dwight Howard, we were the eighth.
Oh, yeah.
Seed and played
Dwight
the,
Howard, yeah.
The Thunder and then,
right.
And then the year after that, that was the Portland Trailblazer, you know, Damian Lillard, you know, 3-point shot,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Okay, so it's actually Harden's fourth year here, my mistake. So, yeah, the first year, Dwight Howard went down, and we got the 8th seed, and we actually put up a decent fight.
No, that was before Dwight Howard was on the team. Like, he we signed him, so this would be Dwight Howard's, like, third year with the Rockets. Because he was on the Lakers. Remember he was on, like, the Lakers back then?
Didn't James come in 2011 and then Dwight in 2012? Or was it one year above?
I think it was like,
I thought the Australian guy knows more about the Rockets.
I've been doing a lot of research in the offseason.
Yeah, well,
okay, so yes, you guys are right.
I don't
right.
remember the exact years, but it was one after the other. Like, we traded for James Harden and then made the 8th seed.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that we made the 8th seed was what, because we actually had cap space and made the 8th seed, so.
Mm-hmm. And then that was the year. Yeah, we played.
And like the Lakers,
Oklahoma
like
City,
fell apart
we,
that
we,
year.
We
like that was like.
Well. Yeah, we played OKC tough, and I don't think really anybody else played them tough until obviously the finals where the Heat beat them. And then yeah, we Damian Lillard. I mean, don't even mention that guy's name here in Houston. Gosh, that shot. That would be good actually. I'm glad he signed a huge contract there because Portland. I think, you know, they're on their way down. I'm glad that guy's not going to be around anymore and haunting our dreams.
Well, in the eight teams that were in last year, like, I don't think that – do you both think that the Trailblazers and the Mavericks are going to be out of the playoffs this year?
I think so.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a good chance. I mean, I mean, no, they could, you know, they could always, like, surprise. I mean, especially the Mavericks, because, like, you know, like, yeah, you still have, like, Dirk Nowitzki and who are the, I'm trying to think who are, maybe it's just them.
They got, like, Wes Matthews.
Well, no, I mean, like in terms of, like, old guys that, like, that have been with the Mavericks for, because I think Chandler and Monte Ellis and Rondo left, and then they got Wes Matthews, and I think
after that Zaza. Whole,
after that whole, like, DeAndre Jordan, you know, take back, you know, signing thing.
Oh, God, yeah, that probably killed them, honestly. Yeah, they got Wesley Matthews, they have JaVale McGee, who is a human non-highlight reel.
I tell you what, I'm really watching that tape whenever he plays.
Mm-hmm. That's
just
because
I want to see what he'll do.
Yeah, and then they have Deron Williams now. So I mean, Deron Williams is one of those guys that can just, you know, he shows up one night, puts 50 points on the scoreboard, and then just kind of disappears for a while. And you don't see him on SportsCenter for, you know, 3 more weeks.
Well, I think the deal, if I remember, because Deron, like, cause he used to play for the Utah Jazz and was like an all-star there, and like we played them in, you know, the first round, like way back in the day, but and then I think he got like, man, how, I guess he just got traded to the Nets.
From what I've heard, I think he wanted out or something.
Because usually I think that's usually how it is. Like if like especially like a small market team, like if you know, they kind of like, you know, hit their peak and then, you know, I think they weren't making it past like the second round, and you know, Deron Williams' contract was going up, so he's like, oh well, you know, I'll either leave in free agency or you can trade me. And
so yeah, you know where I was going.
But yeah, so
yeah,
so
what happened with Deron Williams is he actually ran the coach, I believe it was Jerry Sloan.
I remember that.
Most decorated coaches in NBA history. He ran him out of town and then left the team. He ran him out of town, and the reason they fired Sloan was because they thought they couldn't keep both of those guys. There was such a tension between them. So he pulls a Dwight Howard. Which Dwight Howard obviously learned it from Deron Williams. Deron Williams did first. Let's not act like Dwight's some, you know, trailblazer and getting your coach fired. But he got his coach fired, and then ditched the team after getting his way with getting the coach fired. Which obviously we know Dwight Howard did that with Stan Van Gundy in Orlando. You know that the famous SportsCenter clip where he's, you know, put Van Gundy's talking about the division in the locker room between he and Dwight, and then Dwight comes up out of nowhere, puts his arm around him, and acts like, you know, they're best friends, which is just, you know. And then,
is that,
you know,
where your hatred of Dwight Howard comes from?
He doesn't have a lot of self-awareness. He doesn't realize that is a bad place to do something like that. You know, Stan Van Gundy's having an honest moment in front of a camera talking about how he knows he's basically on the way out. And that he can't, you know, he's lost the locker room. And Dwight Howard comes up and acts like he's completely oblivious to what he's talking about and things like that. It just, Dwight, he just never really thinks before he says something, which I think is pretty obvious. He's doing it maliciously, but I just don't think he thinks things through before he says
it. I mean, I think like that, it was just like one of those things where like, because they weren't having a good year, or like compared to their, because I think they'd won like 60 games 2 years in a row, and I mean, I can't really
they went to the finals, kind of like, and then,
his attitude, because I mean, he's kind of like an easygoing guy, you know, that's, I think that's one of the things critics say about him in terms of like his attitude, but like, but I mean, I think like, you know, why I like him on this team is because like, you know, I think one of the things going for us is like our locker room, you know, like attitude in general, you know, because. And I guess I can't really, you know, put a, you know, finger on like what is exactly the reason for it, but like maybe just because you have like a lot of, you know, like a just good, you know, attitude, like, you know, between Maury and Mikhail, and I mean, I, why well, suppose you'd have James turn to the list too as well, but you know.
Yeah, I think he actually does really well in that soccer. He's not asked to be the guy. That's James Harden's job, to be the guy. So he can kind of take a backseat, which is good for him, because I don't think he has, you know, mentally what it takes to be the number one guy. Harden's attitude and his attitude kind of mesh together. They're just, you know, jokesters. They play pranks, practical jokes all the time on each other. It's a good spot for him for sure.
Well, it definitely seems like Dwight seems like he's may found like a place where he performs best. Like he performs best in like a role where he's not under too much pressure.
Yeah, like LA. Oh my gosh, what a cluster that was.
I've only heard about that, and it didn't seem like it was a great fit at all.
It was every single day on national media was just about how Dwight Howard wasn't Shaq. And hey, everybody, look how not Shaq Dwight Howard is. And
yeah, that's not what you want to hear.
Like, it's just an unfair comparison.
In addition to that, though, is because I guess it was the fact that it was the Lakers, because like the national media, like in New York and LA specifically, like they like really, hammer on those teams. Like, so if anything's not going right, it gets ugly, So, and I think. I guess I don't know much about like his Dwight's personality, but I would guess that like that might have been a reason why he wanted to come to Houston, because like that's actually, because Houston's like a big city, but like in terms of like, like we don't go apeshit on people if they don't perform to like expectations.
I can only take your word for that.
Compared to LA, we're like a lot more like relaxed. Or at least the media pressure. I shouldn't say the city's relaxed, but like in terms of like the media pressure, there's not like you don't have like a.
You don't have the national media. You have local pressure. We have a very big local following, but with LA, you have a world following. You have
that might be
the
worse too.
It was just too much for him mentally. I don't think he could handle it. Also, one of the big things that drew him to Houston was just the quality of the strip clubs.
Oh, right.
That's not a joke. That's one of the things I heard.
I don't know what it's like in Houston, and I don't know in LA. I can't compare, but I've heard the same thing. But I guess I assumed it was just like someone was joking, like, oh yeah, that's like.
All the best jokes, Jeff, have a hint of truth in them.
That's true.
Like, I don't know what, like, obviously the atmosphere is in Houston, but whenever you see, like, Dwight Howard having fun at one of the games, like, it seems like the crowd gets pretty into it as well.
Yeah. It's not like that in LA. I mean, in LA you have Jack Nicholson sitting, courtside. You have everybody serious. Everybody at Kobe, oh my gosh. Kobe is like the strict father that Dwight Howard never wanted. Or maybe he had him. Maybe his father was strict growing up or something.
That stepfather that's trying too hard.
Exactly. And Kobe, he's just the kind of guy that will analyze every little thing you do and say. He'll call you out publicly to try to make you better. I mean, you're either going to respond to it in one or two ways. You're either going to get better or you're going to crumble like Dwight did. And, Kobe did that constantly to Dwight. Kobe would call him out on national media and just say, Dwight's got to get better. Dwight's not doing this well. Dwight's not doing that well. And Dwight just couldn't handle it. And it's nothing bad against Dwight. I mean, certain people have certain personalities and they don't work well together every time. It's nothing against Dwight. And like you said, Jazz, I think he has found a home here in Houston where he gets along with the team. He doesn't have to be the number one guy. He still takes a lot of heat in national media, but he doesn't have to worry about it every single day on the national media where all they're talking about is Dwight, which is what it was, quite frankly, when he was in LA.
Yeah, like, what do you guys think of, obviously, I think he's in his contract up this year.
Or Dwight you're talking about?
Yeah.
Or he has a player option, so, and I mean, I imagine he'll exercise it, like, or he'll opt out of it, or whatever the term is.
Right. Do you think he's coming back, or do you reckon he's going to shop himself?
He'll probably end up coming back. I can't imagine, like, a scenario. It'd have to be, like, another LA situation where, like, we just completely collapse, and, like, but I don't,
I would say it's probably, best money that he's going to stay here. If he has a bad season, he'll opt in, obviously. And if he has a great season, he might opt out and get an extension. So,
well, depending on how Clint plays, I reckon Like, obviously, we don't know how he's going to look this season with all his injuries, but, like, do you reckon that if he does stay for another year, that it'll be more of an even split of minutes between him and Clint? Do you reckon he'll want that?
I don't know. If he can get a hook shot, then I don't want to give Clint any minutes. But with his injury history, and then plus, I mean, just a big guy in general, you know, all of Houston fans have seen it with Yao Ming. You know, it can be a nightmare when big guys start getting up in age. And he might not be old, but he's been in the league 11 years. He's getting wear and tear on those knees. You definitely want to sit him as much as possible, save him for the playoffs. You saw this year was one of his best postseason runs, and it was because he was hurt half the year. He got to rest half the year because he was hurt.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how panicked were you guys in that first game against Golden State when Josh Smith, like, almost looked like he took his knee out from under him?
Man, you know, I remember – now I'm trying to remember that specific play.
I was like, I think Josh was either – he either tripped or he was diving for a loose ball, but then, like, Dwight ran right into his body, and then he had to sit the rest of the game.
This was in, like, in the fourth quarter, I guess?
I think it was in the first quarter of, like, maybe the first or second game against Golden State.
Oh, and he was, like, out of the game for... Man, is this bad? Like, I don't remember, like, the specific... Like, I heard about, like, a... I heard he had, like, a slight injury, like, in that series, and he said he was, like, playing through, like, some kind of, like, strain or something.
Oh, this was something different. Like, like, it was the opposite knee, whatever knee, I think it's his right knee that always troubles him or something, but whatever it is that he always troubles him, like, the opposite knee got banged into, and then he was, like, out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, no, I remember. I mean, it was worrying, but I don't think a lot of people would give us a shot against Golden State anyway.
All right.
We're going to need to be at complete full strength to challenge the West this year.
Yeah, especially, like, just Beverly. Like, we talked about that earlier, though. Like, that was the big one. But, man, okay, so I think... I guess we should, like, wrap this up then. I'm trying to think of... I don't know, I'm not, like... I don't know how to, like, officially, like, close the podcast. Like, what, like...
Well, like, I think this was a good first episode, but, like, we'll probably have some more things to talk about that we can... That we can
come up on all the podcasts for sure. We can do this again either after the Golden State game or just next week. This time, I think is a good time.
Yeah, like we can probably after maybe like the first couple of games, we might be able to have like a more fully formed like thing that we can
see how Ty Lawson and James Harden share the ball, share the court.
Oh, we didn't even see how that goes. We didn't even talk about the fact that Dwight isn't in the first game.
What was it? He's suspended for something, for like
too
a flagrant
foul. Too many fouls.
Yeah, like a flagrant foul in the playoffs that like carries over.
Yeah. He almost knocked out Bogut.
There you go. Oh, yeah, I remember that elbow. That was a hell of an elbow.
But to be fair, it's again, our first game's against Denver, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, we'll have to watch trouble.
As many games as you can sit Dwight this year. Would you know still try to get you know fight for home court advantage? I think you sit him. I mean, you need him in the playoffs. You need all our guys in the playoffs. I don't mind if you use the San Antonio Spurs strategy of sitting all our guys, you know, every third game, etc. I think we just need to be healthy in the postseason. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, it's kind of selfish, but like obviously, like people are always saying just. Like the people who come to Houston don't want to pay to see the stars, but like this team wants to win a championship.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen the stars. We've got the stars. We don't. I mean, if you ask any fan, you ask them, would you rather win a championship or on a random Tuesday night against Denver, would you rather see everybody go out there and play there? I think everybody knows the answer to that. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, so I guess. So we should, like, close this out? Like, I don't know if... man, I don't know. We probably should have come up with, like, some, you know, like, formal closing
catchy
for,
title.
Like... Yeah, like, this has been the, you know... I forgot the name of the podcast already. Like, the...
Yeah, what are we calling
the
this?
General... The general
or Rockets in General
podcast?
Or something was...
Rockets in General.
I think we definitely need to come up with a new name. That's homework. Okay, so as our blast off, we can go through our homework, which is find out the origin of the James Harden Chef Dance, find a new name for the podcast,
and why not have Dwight Howard have his headband again?
There we go. I like that. That's a good. That's three good aims for next podcast.
Okay, so I guess So I guess we're just gonna call it then. Okay, so yeah, this was the podcast. I guess see you guys later.
Bye.
I'm gonna